Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Buddy Pearson, and on this podcast, Education Matters. Our guest today is Caitlin Steakley, the Executive Director of the PEP Foundation. Caitlin, welcome to Local Matters.
Thank you, Buddy. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So, PEP Foundation. What is PEP Foundation?
The PEP Foundation stands for the Putnam Education Partnership Foundation. It is a SSO for the school system, which means it's a school support organization, and we work to support the Putnam County School System and its students.
Wow. Now, how did this come about? Well, I mean, how long has it existed?
So PEP has actually existed since 2004.
Okay.
It was originally created as teacher classroom grants back in the 2004 time frame.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was handed over and they started working on the backpack program and working to create backpack program across the county instead of just at a few schools that churches were using.
Sure.
And so it grew, and now we have lots of other programs that we're trying to run and really work to bring the community alongside the school system and really engage everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I know we want to get to those programs. How long have you been involved with PEP?
I've been involved for just almost 3 years.
Okay. And how did that come about?
So I actually spent some time volunteering and helping with the board. And then after they decided they wanted to hire somebody, I decided to come into that role and work in an official capacity to help move things forward, because I saw just the great potential that it would have to be able to actually have a way for the community to be involved and for us to invest in students and their needs.
Yeah. And now, as executive director, like what's some of your duties? What's some of the things that you do on a regular basis?
So I obviously run the backpack program, which yeah. means I'm ordering food on a weekly basis. I'm coordinating with the coordinators let me back up just a little bit. To explain how backpack program works for yeah. some people that might not know, is we have different churches that have adopted a school or even local businesses that have as well, like Cummins and Tutco mm-hmm. are two of our businesses. And alongside those churches, those people each have their own school and they each have their own coordinator, and they coordinate with the guidance counselor. But I also order all the food and make sure everybody stays. Everybody's following all the rules that require for us yeah. to actually have food. So that's part of my job duties, is just making sure that the program is from top to bottom is one, funded, and two, also that we're beholden to all the grant requirements yes. that there are with that as well.
Yeah.
So that's a big chunk of my time.
That is.
And then it's just growing the organization, spreading the word, lots of marketing, obviously, spending time talking to people and educating them on what we do. And then we also get requests to help students in certain ways, and I help fulfill those requests. So what that might look like is if a family is struggling and they come into the student services or come to student services looking for assistance and they can't help them, they might send them to us, and then we're able to grant that request through our Student Needs Fund, which is another great piece that's grown yeah. from the backpack program and from the PEP Foundation over the years.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of moving parts.
There are a lot of moving parts. Got to wear a lot of hats.
Yes. A lot of moving parts here. And when we talk about the PEP Foundation, you said it was started in 2004. It was originally for the backpack program.
It was originally for teacher and classroom mini grants.
Yes.
It was actually a Leadership Putnam class.
Oh, okay.
Back in the day that started it as their group project.
I remember that. Yes, yes.
And so it took off, and they had classroom mini grants for a really long time, and that just kind of fizzled out, and there was a need, and they weren't using the nonprofit like they were, and so they said, let's shift.
Yeah.
And so they were able to utilize it for that and use it to be able to write the grants for the backpack program and start that process to make sure that every kid in Putnam County is obviously fed on the weekends, which is a huge deal, so that kids can show up to school ready yeah. to learn.
Man, that is a huge deal. And who are some of the other people? I mean, you're the executive director, but who are some of the other folks that are involved with PEP that we might recognize?
Yeah, so our board president is, her name's Rachel Stiles. She moved back. She's a Cookeville native and moved back a couple years ago and got involved right away after moving back. And we're super excited to have her. Rafferty Cleary, he is the cultural administrator, I believe is
his
official
title. I'm sure most people
title.
Who listen to Stonecom know who Rafferty Cleary
yes,
is.
So, yes. yeah, Rafferty, he's our vice president. Ben Rogers, who's county commissioner, who also does, I think, a Local Matters style show as well. Ben is our treasurer. And then Julie Baker from Tennessee Tech is our secretary. We also have other, you know, obviously amazing people on our board. Mr. Brandon Smith, that is the head of emergency management. Lisa Bumblow, who heads up the health department. Alex Garcia, who is an interpreter for the school system. Heath Waters, who works at J&S Construction. And then, of course, the one and only Corby King is also one of our board members.
Director of schools, of course, yes.
Yes, he's also on our board as well. And so we have some really good support. We have, you know, lots of community ties within that group and some really good organizational leadership skills amongst our board members that have really helped this process along as we've tried to expand it and grow it so that it could reach its full potential.
Well, and you're talking about expanding and growing, and I think that's where you're at right now. I mean, you see the expansion, you see the growth, you see the need in our school system for, you know, kids who need to be fed and, you know, there are other needs. So how do you go about identifying needs first and foremost?
One of the ways that we identify needs, well, if it's on an individual level, we fully rely on student services to let us know about those needs. They get the cases from the guidance counselor, and if there's something, they have grant dollars that they can use on a lot of cases. This is when those don't work, those type of things don't work out, that we step in and assist families and students with resource assistance. Further than that, we actually do a needs assessment with all of the principals in the school system and tried to get our hands on what the needs are, what that looks like across the district and across the county. And that's something we started last year, and this is our second year doing that. And so we're just trying to recognize patterns and have found some key spots that we feel that we can have the community come in and help us. And so that's one of the things I'm hoping we get to talk about today is some of the ways that...
Oh, we're going to talk about anything you want to talk about.
Yes,
yes. We've got 30 minutes. We're going to talk about a lot of things.
I'm so excited. I love to talk. So this is my kind of show. But yeah, so we have lots of different ways that we've been identifying needs across the school system over the past 2.5-3 years and really are trying to make a system around those now at this point. And so I'm really excited for the future and what PEP is going
to
do.
Yeah. Let's go back to the needs assessment for a second, because you've talked to the principals, and I think it'd be interesting for people to know what some of those needs are. I mean, you know, you've heard from the principals themselves. So what are some of the needs that they identify that, you know, PEP can help with?
I'm so glad you asked that. In response to the needs, and the reason we even started the needs assessment is we were getting a grant from Publix, and it was called Tools for Back to School. We utilized that to help with all sorts of things last year when we did the needs assessment. But one of the other things that we got during it was just over a year and a half ago, we needed these bins to collect food at Christmas in the Park because we'd been asked if we wanted to collect food. In addition to the backpack program, we also have some food pantries that we keep up. The big thing is food access with the backpack program. And so we had been donated some bins, and we decided, hey, like, how can we utilize these further than just being like, what do we do with them now that we've used them for the Christmas in the Park? Like, how can we move forward with this? So with the needs assessment, we noticed some patterns. Like, they needed, Jerry Whitson asked for rain boots and raincoats at the start of the year because they're one of the only community schools. I think they're the only community school in Putnam County, meaning a majority of their kids walk to school.
Exactly.
So what that looks like when you have a high income population that's walking to school is having raincoat and rain boots. Kids grow really fast. That's a unexpected expense for those families. And so we were able to provide a way for the community to get involved, and businesses were able to take one of those bins and help collect those items.
Awesome.
And so we've really utilized it to help restock our food pantries. We have a permanent home for a bin at Smart Bank, and so they just change with whatever we're collecting at the time. After Christmas in the Park this year, we kind of took a break over the winter months to just be able to have a little bit of lull time as we were planning a fundraiser for April. And so with that, we're getting ready to start and pick back up and do snacks for classrooms, because that was one of the largest requests on our needs assessment.
Snacks.
was snacks because kids are coming to school. Not all of them have a snack every day.
Right.
And then unfortunately that expense a lot of times falls on school staff because that's not something that, that y'all are able to buy.
Right. And you see teachers in the district really spending their own money to get snacks for their own kids.
Yes. And that's the biggest thing on the needs assessment is really us asking the question, how do we keep teachers from having to spend money out of their pocket all the time to meet student needs? And what does that look like?
Yeah.
And that's our goal. So hopefully we can get some people to be interested in hosting a bin. So if anybody out there listening has a business and they want to host a bin, please feel free to go to our website, which is peptn.org, and you can find steps there that you can take to reach out and adopt one of those and help us collect things. And it changes all the time. We plan on having a rolling calendar of things that people can get involved in to collect and be collection locations and drop-offs. So we need all the help we can get in that department.
Were there any other, I mean, you had the rain boots and the rain jackets at Jerry Whitson and the snacks. Was there anything that was like a close third or something like that?
Clothing. Yeah,
okay.
Kids' clothing. I mean, just across the board, kids have accidents when they're in kindergarten.
Right.
Girls, their bodies change and they have things that they need, underwear and undergarments and different things like that for during the day as they get older.
I mean, those are things you don't think about.
Yep.
I mean, you really don't. But
you don't.
If you have kids, I mean, you kind of do. But just from a community perspective of somebody who wants to help, it's like, oh, wow, there are more needs than just – you know, I'm going to give you $20 for, you know, a playground equipment or something like that. I mean, there's some really serious needs.
Yeah, there are. And they're easy needs for us to meet, especially if people are working together. And I think at the end of the day, like when we think about PEP and when I think about PEP, what I want it to be is the community being able to kind of give the school system a hug. When I break it down into something like, hey, let's give all these kids a hug and make sure that everyone's cared for. And education is equitable for all as far as their essential needs being met so they can show up and be ready for the classroom.
Awesome. We're talking with Caitlin Steakley. I'm Buddy Pearson, and you're listening to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, this is Local Matters with the folks on education. I'm Buddy Pearson, and we're talking to Caitlin Steakley about the PEP Foundation and all these needs that are in our school system. And what a great idea to have a needs assessment survey from principals in the Putnam County schools to find out what you need. It's so awesome that you have all these different ways to supply needs. Now, I know we've talked about backpack. What are some of the other things that the PEP Foundation does besides the backpack program, which, you know, you hear that. But before we move past that, how many students are affected by the backpack program?
So when I say backpack program and I give numbers, I also include our food pantries, which we help support food pantries at three different schools in the district. Mm-hmm. We started helping Prescott Middle School this year. We have Vital. And we have Upperman High School. So those three locations really needed a food pantry over a backpack program.
Okay.
We see a lot of that, especially middle school up. There's just an increased resistance towards taking help when you're a kid.
Sure.
Because of the stigma, which we actively try to figure out and work around. And that's one of our workarounds. And so we have in those programs and in the schools that we serve, we have 803 students who receive food on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. When I broke that down and took kind of the bigger picture and kind of took the middle school students out, because we know that it just really tanks off participation does in that middle school age range. It was one in five elementary school students. So it was like 19.8% of students that are elementary students in the Cookeville footprint take the backpack program.
Okay. So what's some of the other things? There's a backpack program. What's some of the other things that PEP Foundation does?
Yeah, so like I said, we have the food pantries in a couple of the schools.
Right.
And then in addition to that, we have our Student Needs Fund. Our Student Needs Fund, I think I mentioned kind of in the first segment, that we support student services by providing funding for crisis needs. So it might look like I know last year there was a bus driver that drove past a house and realized the family had no electricity.
Oh, wow.
And the kids were coming home with no electricity. And so we were able to help them get their lights back on.
Really?
Yes. So, and then we also had a family that we helped give them help for their car repair because it was, you know, a couple $100 and mom wasn't able to work because she was having to wait on someone to come get the kids and do all the things the little things you don't think about that can affect, it's a trickle down effect,
it
really.
Is.
It's a trickle down effect.
That's a great way to explain it.
When you don't have access to a car and your mom can't go to work and you can't get to school on time, it starts creating barriers. So we want to minimize that in any way possible with our Student Needs Fund. We supported students, over 75 students last year, at roughly around $15,000 in support. Mm-hmm. In many of those cases, we also, if there was a medical need in the home that it had came from some sort of medical situation, we would partner with John Bell at the Cookeville Regional Charitable Foundation as well. Because a lot of times those expenses were more than what our maximum was. And so we would work together to bridge those gaps, which is what I love about our community is we're really good at coming together and working together for solutions.
There's some giving people out there for sure.
There are. And we have some great organizations and we're so thankful to be able to do that. Other things that it's looked like is, there was a student who ended up in a nurse's office in excruciating pain from an abscess tooth and didn't have insurance. And so we paid for the extraction so that kid could not have their health at risk and also be able to get back in the classroom quickly. So it's just little things like that we're paying here and there. And our board has great, you know, policies in place that keep us from being an abused thing. It's really, really, truly students that are in need and families that are in need that are in crisis. And basically, there's a lot of families, especially when you're talking about 800 and something students that take backpack program that are food insecure.
Wow.
You know, when you think about that, we're all just one bad situation away from needing help in a lot of cases. And so we're really thankful to have those partnerships and be able to do that. In addition to that, we also have our performing arts grants that we gave out last school year. And that was a new thing. It was kind of a pilot for the board to see what kind of investments we could make. This particular need came came down the line to us. And basically what we learned was that there were students or that there's band programs that have instruments that were beyond repair or their repairs were so extensive that like it was becoming hard to actually run the program. And they were having to worry about like, how am I going to get this repaired? How am I going to get that repaired? And that was mostly for school instruments.
Right.
So what that meant was the kids that are having to use school instruments, who are mostly kids that are economically disadvantaged or free and reduced students, they were getting the kind of last pick, the unrepaired. They were having to share instruments, which is kind of gross. If you really think about it, they were having to share instruments.
I'm going to share this trumpet with this kid over here. Yeah.
Yes. And during COVID, like there was, So once we learned about that, we decided to prioritize finding ways to make investments that could not only help in emergency situations, but also with development and, you know, potential, reaching their full potential, which is our goal as well. So we were able to make investments in the middle school programs here in the district, and we had great success. And I hope you're going to read some of the quotes.
Well, I was going to, you know,
from the band directors that we have over there.
You know, I think people recognize that at the high school level, we have some great performing arts. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you look at Upperman, you look at Cookeville High, and you look at what Mr. Choate does at Cookeville High and what he's done with plays and choruses and all those things. And now it's in Monterey and it's in Baxter. But one of the things, like you said, that was lacking was the opportunity there at the middle school level to really kind of take it to the next level. And, you know, we're talking about a performing arts grant summary Repairs provided, 105 repair cost, $12,000. New instruments purchased, 49. New instrument cost, $36,671. Approximate materials cost, $2,173. Uniforms, $2,265. Those are all monies that came because you guys saw a need and took initiative and helped out. And, I mean, I look at, okay, Prescott South Middle School Choir Theater, Ashley Francis. Unfortunately, several of our students do not have parental support. This grant allowed for many of our economically disadvantaged students to be supported. It also encouraged other disadvantaged students to audition as well, since they were reassured they had no financial concerns.
It's huge.
It's huge. You think
like
about
you
it.
Read that and it's like, it like literally gives me goosebumps, like even hearing it again.
Yeah.
Just because it's something that would impact, it's got a long-standing impact. It's more than just being able to have a little need met of food. It's not, and I say little, having food on the weekend is a huge need,
sure.
But it's also something that could be life altering. Like yeah. If you get in a program and are able to be engaged in the same capacity as the peers who have the parental support and have the money to be able to go and do those things and you never got to do them.
Yeah.
It's just huge. Like just, I mean, the trickle down on that is so exciting. And so I like reading those, the quotes that came from the teachers, reading about the things the students got to do because of the grant, I have no words because it's so exciting to me.
One more here. And this is what I think really proves the point. Mr. Hibbard, ATMS band, I had a 100% retention rate with the students that received an instrument through this grant. Not a single student quit the band. The students also had a new drive and were proud of the instruments that they were playing. Many started taking their instruments home to practice. 100% retention rate.
I think Prescott had the same. Yeah. If I remember correctly, Prescott had the same experience too. And I'm like, wow, two schools.
Yes.
Not a single kid quit band.
Right.
Because it was a good experience.
Yeah.
It wasn't something of
it
like
took
my
the financial
instrument.
Burden off.
Yes. And yeah. took... It gave equity. I think that's overarchingly the picture is it gave all of the kids the opportunities to succeed, not just the ones whose family could afford to rent the instrument or do the other things. Not that those kids wouldn't anyways, but
right.
It just made it more accessible. And that's really, really an exciting thing.
Still talking with Caitlin Steakley. I'm Buddy Pearson. You're listening to Local Matters. And this is Local Matters with a focus on education. I'm Buddy Pearson. And we're talking to Caitlin Steakley about the PEP Foundation and just a few minutes ago, we were hearing from some of the educators, some of the performing arts folks in the county about this performing arts grant that you were able to do and just what an impact it has made in our middle schools from a performing arts perspective. And the thing is, it's not just about performing arts. It's not just about backpacks. It's not just about food pantries. You have to do these things because there are these needs in the county, but you can't do them without contributions. You can't do it without
Correct.
Raising funds. You can't do it without calling on businesses and people to help. And I think this is where a lot of people don't understand that what you're doing takes money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like there's money out there growing on a tree that you're going to go pick, you know, hey, the PEP needs something off the PEP money trees. Let's just go pick some today and we're going to go give some to this school. There's a lot that goes into that.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about the fundraising aspect of the PEP Foundation.
Yeah. So one of the big goals of my position was basically to work in development role.
Yeah.
So with the backpack program from the get-go, it's always been funded mostly by churches.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, Second Harvest, their funding has changed. So there was a need to raise additional funds. And that's one of the reasons I also stepped in, but also because they wanted the Student Needs Fund to be able to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, you know, I have worked over the past couple of years and alongside the board, obviously, to really help solidify new donors, look for new donors that are interested in the initiative, even re-engage some old donors from the beginning. You know, when I look back at old pieces of paperwork, I have an old file that a lot of stuff's in that was given to me. And overall, the goals were the same then.
Right.
It's increasing access for students in some way, shape, or form,
yeah.
and making the district stronger and making our community stronger mm-hmm. because of that. And so, yeah, I mean, for me, we obviously have done a lot of things over the past couple of years, but one of the really big, exciting things that we have coming this spring is we are officially able to do a spring fundraiser, which I'm really, really, really excited about.
It's going to be great.
It's been one of those things that the can kept getting kicked down the road because of changes or waiting on something else or waiting on this or waiting on that. And so we're finally able to do that. And I am full steam ahead in the planning and planning mode alongside our fundraising committee. And so we're really excited to be able, we're calling it our pep rally.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We're going to have a party and we're going to hopefully not make it just another boring luncheon.
Yes.
That's been my spiel to everybody the whole time. I'm like, not just another boring
another
luncheon.
Another fundraising luncheon. Yes. Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. So it is fundraising season and spring fundraising season specifically. But we're really excited to launch that and give another way for us to bring everybody together and celebrate what's been happening, what we've been doing for years, but also help us grow and find new people that are like-minded that want the same thing as we do.
Yeah.
And so I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah. Well, can you give us a little hint on, kind of what that's going to look like? I'm sure you want to invite everybody in Putnam County to come.
I would love to invite everyone in Putnam County to come. We obviously
and their checkbook.
Right now we are looking for table hosts. So if you happen to be listening and you're like, I want to go in here and I would love to bring some friends, we are actively looking for table hosts. And just like I said earlier with looking for the bins, you can find information on our website on becoming a table host.
Right.
We're looking, and if you just want to come sit, you can also send us an email and we'll help find you an open table to sit at. We want all the people.
Yes.
That's our goal, is to fill. We have, I think, 40 tables is what we're looking to fill.
Okay.
And so that's our goal. Our banquet is going to be, or luncheon, not banquet, I guess. Our luncheon is going to be on April 9th at lunchtime at the River Community Church.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate really great things in Putnam County. We're going to showcase some of the students and their work.
Yes.
The plan is to involve students in as many ways as possible and really showcase the potential of students here in Putnam County. Because I don't know if I think I heard a long time, I heard this quote a long time ago, and it explained that children are our natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't prioritize investing in them, we're not prioritizing investing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is really the theme of all things that we do and all the things that we it kind of encompasses a pep as a whole. And so I'm really, really excited about the fundraiser. And like I said, we are actively looking for table hosts to come and spend time with us. And like again, that's April 9th. So if you are interested and you're listening, please contact Caitlin, because she will find you a table or find you someone to sit with and help you find your place with pep too.
So you haven't had a fundraiser before. How did you raise funds?
So we did lots of social media.
Mm-hmm.
We've written quite a few grants. We get a couple different. We try to do a lot of community grant writing. As mm-hmm. far as we've gotten Upper Cumberland or UCEMC this year, we've gotten Walmart in the past. We get Second Harvest. We get lots in Farm Bureau. There's a ton of them that we try to write and get. So we've had a lot of that going on. We have had quite a few individual donors for some time. And then it's really been social media marketing and really pushing the message out there through different media, press releases, different little initiatives that we've kind of been laying the groundwork for to be able to lead up to that bigger event. And so it's just been grassroots for the most part, and then some grant writing. So,
'cause every time you see on social media where you're presenting a check to somebody, that money's come from somewhere.
Right.
And I know on your website, there's a button where you can go donate now that you can do those
mm-hmm.
things. So if there are just folks out there, it's like, I never knew that there was a pep, and I didn't know that you helped kids with their teeth and bills and food and all these other things and instruments. What can I do to help you? How can I help you?
Yeah. So once again, we'll go back to a couple ways. You can go to the website, and there is a donate now button, and you can even go into some of the pages and there's specific donate now buttons mm-hmm. for each of those funds. So you can donate to student needs. You can donate to the backpack program. You can donate just in general to the organization as a whole, that's a great way to help if you're like, I don't know what to do, or I don't have time, or I don't have time to run to Walmart and get this or that for whatever drive we have going on. That's a fantastic way to jump in and help, is financial support, because a lot of the stuff we're doing is us helping pay for something.
Sure.
There's not as many. We have obviously lots of backpack program volunteers and groups that do backpack, but those are pretty well taken care of just by whoever the group is that runs that particular school. And so there's not a ton of volunteer opportunities as far as like, oh, we need this many people to show up here or there, wherever it may be.
Yeah.
Those are increasing, but right now there's, unless you are part of a backpack program already or a group that's packing bags, there's not as many as we'll be building in the future. That's also on the plans for the future expansion. So anyways, there's lots of different ways that you can read about, ways to get involved on the website and hit the donate now button. But you can also join us in partnership with one of the bins and adopting one of the bins and helping us collect whatever need we're trying to get. So if you don't want to put any money up and you just are like, hey, I want to be able to promote my business and do some good and come alongside you and have, you know, be like-minded in that, you can ask us to adopt a bin and we'll send one. We'll bring you a bin to put at your workplace that tells you what to do. And it's kind of a kit, if you will, a kit of here's the things you can collect, or a group. We've had, you know, obviously events, like I said, Christmas in the Park.
Right.
We had one of the chamber events that collected stuff. So even if you have an event coming up, if you're a event manager or whatever, like you could tell us to bring you a bin and we'll do it for that too. If you want some community service alongside something or for your employees.
Yeah.
So, that's a great, great first step, is just joining us in some of those efforts. But then if you're able to financially give, we of course would love your partnership. Coming up for the spring fundraiser, there's also going to be sponsorships available. So we will be rolling those out in the very near future. And so there's some sponsorship opportunity. If there's any businesses that also would like to be a part of that process with us, we would love for them to come alongside us as well. So, and then if your organization has a grant, tell us about it. That would be amazing
as
well.
Yeah, that would be
great. I feel like I spend a lot of time having to search for a grant here, a grant there, find who's got little pots of money that they have to give out. And and if you've got one and you're like, that would be great if you could reach out and tell us about it. We would love to know
it's
about it.
It's helping students.
Yes, it's helping students and children and removing barriers. So that would be amazing.
That would, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I do want to ask you, you're obviously very passionate about this. Why are you so passionate about this?
That's a great question. Throw me on the spot. I have seen firsthand the impact that the backpack program and the Student Needs Fund have had over the years. I started a long time ago helping a friend with Food to the Rescue and saw that grow and was so blessed through that. And then when this opportunity came along, it was the right, you know, it was the right timing for me to be able to step into that role. And I have gotten to experience and see so many good things from being in this position and just the potential. And every time, I'm always like, when we talked about the performing arts stuff earlier and the quotes that were given and the things that came back, I don't think there's any doubt that it's doing good and making a difference. And at the end of the day, I want to be an agent for change in our community. I think me as a person, like I'm very passionate about making sure that people's needs are met. I mean, it's crazy to me that we live in the day and age that we do, and we still have 800 kids in our community that don't have access to food like they should. So as long as that need's there, I think I want to be a part of reaching it one way or the other.
Well, thank you for what PEP does and what it's going to do. And I know we're excited about the fundraiser, but that's all the time we've got for this week on Local Matters. Caitlin Stakely, thank you so much, the Executive Director of PEP, for coming on here and telling us about all the things that is PEP.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week, and God bless.